welcome to it.
It's Monday. Another damn Monday. Just keep coming. What sucks is Christmas falls on a Wednesday this year, so that really screws up vacation time. It is another edition of the Daily Caller Podcast. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host. Thank you for listening, pushing play, downloading, telling a friend, and all that good stuff. Yes, please, please keep spreading the word. Like-minded conservatives, people who like a good joke, people who want to be kept up on the news and just have a smart-ass perspective of it, as somebody who knows a thing or two about the stuff that's going on and can speak media. I speak fluent media. That means I'm a BS artist. I can translate it to English, though, and that's what I try to do every day. Did I say I'm Derek Hunter? I'm your host? I don't know. It's, like I said, it's Sunday night, Monday morning. I just watched the finale, the series finale of Silicon Valley. I loved Silicon Valley. It sucks that it's over. It was one of the funniest shows on TV, and I'm going to have to watch it again, but I was kind of disappointed in the series finale. But then it's probably because I'm just disappointed that the series is over. I don't know. Just seemed like a drag. Got to digest it more. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff to get to. Lots of things to talk about on the program today. It's mostly, I'm going to violate one of my sort of rules. It's not a hard and fast rule, but it's a sort of rule about pontificating about things that will happen in the future. But this is one thing that I just kind of want to make you aware of the expectations of and how they could differ from reality in a great number of ways. And part of that has to do with speaking media. So we will get to all of that and everything else that's going. Joe Biden, poor Joe Biden. You just want to pat him on the head and put him in the corner and let him sit there. But he thinks he can be president. So we'll get to all of that. We got some great audio, some great cuts, some great commentary, all of those things. The word great is overused, and that's because, like, saying awesome all the time makes you sound like a valley girl, and I don't want to be a valley girl, for sure, for sure. Okay, but before we do all of that, I got to tell you about two things, a couple things. No contest this week, no book drawing this week, because I don't think I have any books to give away right now. To think about that, but I didn't have an author on. Thank you for all the kind notes about the most nerdly interview, even the critical ones who wanted to know more about Rush Limbaugh. The reason I didn't ask about Rush Limbaugh and really get into that is A, it's well covered ground with James. He's been with Rush for 20 some odd years, and he's covered that ground, and Rush has covered that ground. Plus, his new venture, New Journey Pack, and MAGA.black are not related to Rush Limbaugh. So it would have been kind of, I thought, insulting, pointless to recover old ground and insulting to talk to my friend about his boss all the whole time. Who doesn't want to ask about Rush Limbaugh? Who doesn't have 10 million questions about Rush Limbaugh? But then it makes it seem like the only reason you're talking to the guy is because he works for Rush Limbaugh. And I was talking to him because he's doing something that I think is very, very important to the conservative world. And that's what I wanted to focus on. So that being said, I probably could have tossed in another question about Rush, but it slipped my mind. Time, it was long. It was a 40-minute interview or whatever. So there you go. We'll get him back on the show, and maybe I'll ask you to submit some questions and then read a couple of them. Do it by proxy. Do it by proxy. Also, an important message from our sponsor, Life Change Tea. I know you roll your eyes every time any commercial comes on everywhere. We live in a society where you can fast forward past them right on your TV. You don't need to listen to them, but they're important. Life Change Tea is a great product. It also helps the program. So there's that. Life Change Tea, it's a game changer. It's the tea that makes you go. It's a gentle daily cleanse, ladies and gentlemen. You've got a lot of stuff sitting around inside of you that takes its time getting out. Let's just say nooks and crannies in your digestive tract that get clogged up, and that prevents you from fully digesting and absorbing all of the nutrition that you have in the food that you consume. Well, Life Change Tea helps solve that problem. Imagine getting more nutrition out of the food you're already eating. You don't have to eat more food. You just get more out of the food you're eating. That's what Life Change Tea does. Now, it's you brew up like a gallon of it at once, and you just drink a cup a day, and it keeps you regular. It helps clean you out. Don't chug it. You will regret chugging it. Trust me. But trust me on this, it works. You get more energy. You feel better. All you got to do is go to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com, all one word. Enter promo code Derek at checkout and you get 10% off your order. 10% off your whole order. They have great products there. Give them a shot and you help out the show. And more importantly, you help out yourself. Getthetea.com, promo code Derek, just D-E-R-E-K, nothing else. Get you 10% off your order. All right. Thanks to them. Thanks to you for patronizing them. And thanks for you to you for listening. Now let's get into it. Because today is D-Day, not officially D-Day. Actually, Saturday was Pearl Harbor Day. It's D-Day, the day. It is the day that we are expecting the Inspector General's report. Mr. Horowitz will be out with his report, possibly, probably, depending on what time you wake up, by the time you hear this. Now, I, of course, have not heard, read, or anything the Inspector General's report, nor has anybody who's commented on it to this point. Nor will anybody who's commented on it for quite some time, to be perfectly honest with you. Later on in the day, they will have had time to read it and digest it. But that hasn't stopped anybody, right or left, from opining about what will be in there. Normally, this program, and by this program, I mean me, since I'm the only one who works on this program, I have a policy against guesswork, about thinking about the future, speculation, things like that. I just don't like it in the grand scheme of things. But I'm going to do it in a way that I don't think is really doing it, to be perfectly honest with you. It's more of a cautionary tale. But I'm going to talk about this Inspector General's report and the response to it before it comes out in a sort of predictive way. So grab your salt shaker, take a grain of salt, and throw it over your shoulder, whatever you do, snort it if you want to, if that's your thing. But take this with a grain of salt. I just think it's important to set expectations. I'm not an old guy, but I've seen enough of these things to know how this is generally going to go, especially in the age of Trump. You don't even have to go back way back very far. You just have to go back to the Mueller report. Everybody had their opinions about what was going to be in there. And then when it came out, people combed through the 400 and whatever pages of it and found exactly what they wanted to find in it and focused on that. Many people focused on 5 or 10 pages out of the 400. Everybody actually did, except for maybe Byron York at the Washington Examiner, who read the whole thing and took a pretty balanced look at it. But this report will be no different. The Inspector General is not a prosecutor. The Inspector General cannot indict anybody. The Inspector General could not compel people who no longer work for the government. And in the case of the FISA application, those people are very important. They're key players. They're pretty much everybody at the heads and the near the tops of the intelligence community at the time, at the end of the Obama administration. The Inspector General could not compel any of them to cooperate or talk to him in any way, shape, or form. I don't know who did. I don't know who didn't. I wouldn't be surprised if many of them told him to go get bent. But I would assume that would be like a lawyer's suggestion, because even if your client didn't do anything, there's a possibility that they could say something wrong and end up in a world of hurt, like Roger Stone or something like that, or Michael Flynn, who knows. So this report is going to shed a lot of light on a lot of things. It will not be all the light, and it will not be all the things. The right and the left will comb through it, and there will be something in there for everybody. Think of it as a buffet. Think of it as like an old country buffet. You go in there, and there's something for everybody. Maybe not the greatest tasting stuff, but you can find something to sustain your life. If you're vegetarian, if you're vegan, you're covered. If you are straight up carnivore doing the Atkins diet, you're covered. Everything in there. If you're my kid who's a pain in the butt and you have to disguise vegetables as something else, it's in there for you. You can find everything, something in there for everybody. And that's what this report is going to be. because that's what this report is really designed to be. Mr. Horowitz is a political animal. I'm not going to go so far as to say he's a part of the deep state. Most people who are political animals, political appointees, bureaucrats as a cog in the machine are not part of the deep state. They are just people who got where they are by doing what they do and being safe and playing it safe and hedging their bets. He's not going to come out, I predict. I could be totally wrong, and I'm perfectly open to it. I don't think he's going to come out and say X, Y, or Z should be indicted or further investigated. I don't think he's going to come out and say X, Y, or Z are absolutely cleared. What I suspect will be is what we've seen in previous Inspector General's reports. One, in fact, I believe by Mr. Horowitz himself, when he investigated the political bias of Strzok and Page et al., he said that they could find that there was clearly political bias in their minds, that they were definitely anti-Trumpers, but he also couldn't find any evidence that their political biases impacted their work. And that gave everybody on both sides something they could hang their hat on. The left said, see, but they said that the bias didn't impact their work. And the right said, see, he said they were politically biased. I expect that sort of thing as well. Now, keep in mind that as the Inspector General, as a professional bureaucrat, they tend to play it safe. Because think of it this way. Horowitz is there now. Doesn't matter who appointed him, but I believe it was Obama. But he's there, and he's stuck there. You can have a situation where he could come out there and if he found something that, you know, is favorable to Donald Trump and he writes it in a way that is favorable to Donald Trump. And then guess what happens in 2020? Donald Trump loses and you get President Democrat so-and-so. Well, do you think the administration of President Democrat so-and-so is going to look favorably on a guy who made their election that much harder? That made some of their friends have to lawyer up and maybe face criminal charges themselves? Probably not. And the exact opposite is true. If he comes out and says that there's absolutely nothing wrong with anything that the intelligence community did, and then Donald Trump gets reelected, and he's got to deal with President Donald Trump and Trump-appointed bosses, how well do you think that's going to go over for his career future or just his work life future? Probably not great. Bureaucrats are very good at walking that middle ground between both sides and throwing enough one way and enough the other way so that everybody maybe hates them, but hates them equally or just continues to hate each other and ignores him. That's what I suspect we're going to get in this report. It's going to be mishmash. There is going to be finding of some things that was probably improper, but just like the previous report, where the only thing lacking to draw a conclusion of political bias influencing the actions of people like Strzok and Page was a text or an email or them directly saying, we did this because of our political bias. That's the kind of evidence that the Inspector General would need in order to find political bias. That's how these people who operate in the middle ground, trying to please everybody and displease everybody at the same time, that's how they work. So don't get your hopes too high. Now think of it that way. Think of it if you want to sit there and you go, well, if you get your hopes really high and I'm right, you're going to be upset. You're going to be crushed. If your hopes are low, then the odds are that you won't be disappointed. And if you are off, if your expectations are low and you're off, why, think about the wonderful, glorious surprise that you will feel when you find out that. So I always find when it comes to a situation involving politics, it's better to keep your expectations as close to non-existent as humanly possible. That being said, I expect this report to contain some really good information. I don't know what that is, but after this long and after, 6 months of supposedly going to get this out and then it not coming out, there damn well better be something in there. If this thing isn't thorough, if this thing leaves stones unturned like Mueller did, Mueller was supposed to get into all of the origins of all this stuff and he didn't bother to do it. He focused instead half of his report on alleged obstruction of justice by not cooperating with him. It's a hell of a power to have. You just determine people who don't work with you to be obstructing justice. So I don't think Horowitz will go that far. But I think that Horowitz, look, if you're watching Hannity tomorrow or listening to any other conservative show or whatever, reading a column that is routinely harping on this as if it's the only story in the world, and they know the difference, they know the deal, they know the secrets. They don't know the secrets, first of all. They've kind of been misleading you. I just don't want to find a situation where people... I hate being overpromised and underdelivered. And I see a lot of potential for that on both sides. If you're a Rachel Maddow listener or watcher or whatever the hell she's on, or MSNBC in general or CNN, it's going to be a letdown for you. And it's going to be just enough to keep you alive, because those TV personalities will find the nuggets to reinforce what they've been telling you for the past 6 months to a year. And they will exclude the things that don't really make the cause. It's a problem. It's a problem with journalism in general, that they, instead of trying to, there is no, this is going to sound really self-righteous, and I've probably already pissed off a lot of people listening, but I just feel like this has to be said, and I hope I'm proven wrong, but there is no organization out there trying to inform the public anymore. There really is not. None of them are. MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC News, whatever else, Fox News too. They aren't informing their audiences anymore. Oh, they give you things that you didn't know before. They'll give you the basic facts and details, and then they will focus on what they think you will watch. You watch a TV show, a news, in air quotes, show. I'm letting some inside baseball out here, and again, I'll probably piss off some people, but you watch and you go, that person's on again. That person's on again today. That person's on again today. By most of cable news prime time on every network, you could honestly not know if it's a rerun if you only saw the guest list on any given day. It's the same people all the time. And they talk about anything and everything. Whatever is in the news that day, they turn to so-and-so or such-and-such. So-and-so and such-and-such have no more knowledge on any topic than you do. They used to have experts on, people who studied this stuff for a living, to talk about what is going on, why it matters, and why you should care, and what could happen next. Instead, they have people on to tell you what their thoughts are, people who don't know anything more than somebody who just read the latest Associated Press story. And you think to yourself, well, Derek, blah, 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 why would they do that? They do it for several reasons. A, because some of these people are on the payroll and they're easy to use. And when they come asking, if they like keep getting those big fat checks, they have to agree to do it. So they just do it. Some people love the attention, so they do it. And most importantly, the people who book the news aren't really interested in the news anymore. They're interested in ratings. There's nothing wrong with that per se, but it oftentimes conflicts with what is actually news, what is newsworthy, what is informing your audience. There are people who are on shows every day, and it doesn't matter what the topic is, there they are. And somebody will say, well, this person follows this issue, or for reaction we turn to, and they don't follow that issue. They were just assigned that issue. They were booked likely a week in advance, is the way it usually happens. And with that, you are learning nothing. You are not learning news. You are learning somebody else's opinion. Well, for every opinion on the right, there is an opinion on the left. Very few programs on cable news have anybody on the right and the left to discuss the differences between their opinions and try to make a case to you. It is mostly cheerleading. It is mostly echo chamber. It is damaging to people, I think, in the long run, because you can get a completely different worldview by watching a different news outlet. I would recommend, I know it's tough, it's a pain in the ass, and it's gross, and you're going to feel gross doing it. And I ideally, you'd take a week, but I would say you take one night, just one night, any night this week, I challenge you, and watch the opposite of what you usually watch. If you watch Fox, watch CNN or MSNBC. If you watch CNN or MSNBC, watch Fox. Check them out. Just see the worldview. You don't have to do it all day long, but take an hour or two and watch it. Don't sit there and just, because I know your natural instinct is going to be what my natural instinct is. You're going to roll your eyes. You're going to, you know, vomit a little bit. Not literally, but figuratively vomit. It is going to annoy the hell out of you. And you think these people are crazy and they're lying to their audience. But most importantly, you have to realize that their audience believes them. All right? Their audience believes them, and Fox's audience believes them. So two completely different worldviews. You could look at either one of those networks and not know that they're talking about the same events, the same facts, the same country, the same planet. Expect that sort of disconnect from the Inspector General's report. I'm just throwing it out there. I hope that I'm wrong. I would like nothing more than to see an honest recitation of whatever is in the Inspector General's report. And then when you dissect it, you go further, you can have that kind of discussion about what it means or what have you. But pretending that page 37 has a bombshell and not that page 122 has one that doesn't go your way is completely dishonest. I hope to. I mean, it's going to be a long report, and I'm not going to be able to go through all of it on the show tomorrow, because there will be other things that happen between then and now, plus the show's only an hour. But I hope to be able to point out, if I'm being honest, the pros and cons from both sides, because I think that's wildly important. There used to be a time when you would take on the left. You know, remember the Crossfire days back in the 90s, mid to late 90s, when they would actually have not only two serious hosts, although Paul Begala was a bit of a douche, but they'd have two serious hosts, one from the right and one from the left, and then they would have members of Congress, a senator or something, or think tankers, something like that, on there, policy experts, not just random people who rate well on TV, to debate the serious issues of the day. They would make their case. They would refute each other. They would go back and forth. They would call each other out. That was constructive. It also was, it was killed by Jon Stewart when he said, "You guys are damaging the country. You're damaging the country by all this partisan this and partisan that." And it worked because people are stupid. And they watched Jon Stewart and they said, "Well, my goodness, they're damaging the country. We must stop this honest debate and dialogue." And then you created from that echo chambers. So congratulations, Jon Stewart. You did a good job. Oh, back to the rant about people being on television. Part of the reason that people are on television, the main reason that people are on television, and I have this on very good authority, because the cable news networks get their ratings by the minute. By the minute. I'm not kidding. So they rate from 1 minute to another, and if a guest is on and there's a bump up in the ratings, they go, "Ooh, this person is popular with their audience. Let's have them back." And if they always see that bump up, they say, "Ooh, that person's popular with their audience." It's worthless. Like I said, it's not news. It's a business. It's about ratings. But I asked that question of somebody who would know, and they told me, "Well, why do you have this person on like every day? It doesn't matter what the topic is. You're talking to this person." And they said, "Oh, I know that it's not particularly informative, but the audience loves them. The audience loves them." And I'm like, okay, are you a news program or are you America's Got Talent Which is it? And I also wondered, how do you know the audience loves this person if you don't try anything different? Right? Think about that. If this person's on and the ratings go up and you have that person on every day, how do you know that it's that person? Maybe it's the news of the day, that particular day, because I've never seen a we have this person, and this person list on at these particular times on cable news. So there's really no way to know who's going to be on unless you follow them on social media. So I think that's just wild speculation. But most of what goes on cable news is not news. It's playing it safe and playing it safe for ratings. So remember that. That's why I will encourage you, as daunting and a task as it seems, and as annoying of a task as it will be, when the report comes out tomorrow, try and find some time to read it. Read some of it. Read parts of it. There will be an executive summary attached to this thing. There always is. At least read that and then try and get into the body of it. Whatever is found, you should find out unfiltered, as much as humanly possible. I don't expect you, if it's 500 pages, to read 500 pages. Nobody wants to do that. It won't be quite as bad as reading legislation, but it'll be pretty bad. It'll be pretty annoying. It'll be heavily footnoted and written by lawyers who had input from lawyers of the people that they interviewed. This is by committee. It's going to be a terrible read, but I think it's wildly important that you get as much of this information as firsthand as possible, so that when you hear somebody declare something is so from this report, you know that maybe the report did say that, or maybe the report didn't say that, or later said something contrarian. I realize this is like a more of a douchey high horse lecture than it really is a podcast so far today. We're going to change it. We're going to get into the news. But I've gotten so sick of the hype and the buildup of this thing. And no Inspector General's report is going to come out this politically charged and blast. It's not going to be all things to one side and really damaging to the other. That's not how these political hand grenades work. Tomorrow will be no different, and I suspect both sides will pull out what they want, ignore the rest, and by Wednesday or Thursday, we will be moving on to whatever else comes next. There's a Democratic debate on Thursday. They'll go on to that. That's the way it works now. Now, the investigation that could lead to criminal charges is the one that Barr is overseeing in the Justice Department. That one's much more important. Whenever that comes to a conclusion, that will be much more important, because there is a bar whether or not somebody can be charged. The Inspector General cannot charge anybody. So if you're expecting people to be frog marched tomorrow, be arrested, be scared, be running, that's not going to happen either. CNN will have McCabe and whoever else on there, and MSNBC will have Clapper or somebody on there, wherever they work. I can't keep track of these people and their 6 and 7 figure TV contributorship deals, but they'll be all on there declaring that they are exonerated. Everybody on Fox will be declaring that they're guilty as sin, and nobody will be charged with anything. Some people will demand that Horowitz is a political hack for the right. Other people will demand that Horowitz is a political hack for the left. Find out for yourself. Be patient. I know tomorrow is the end of a very long waiting process, but it's also the beginning of another long waiting process. I don't want you to get your hopes up, and I don't want you to get discouraged. It could go either way. Nobody knows. And that doesn't, the main point is that nobody knows, but there are far too many people talking like they do know. And those people will find everything in there that backs up what they've been saying and ignore everything else that makes what they've been saying look bad. And there's a simple, basic reason for it. Money. Don't fall for it. Whether it's on TV, in a column, in a podcast, They're all doing it for money. None of these people are doing it for free. Actually, I'm probably the only sucker really doing it for free. But these people are making gobs of money. The more popular they are, the more money they're making. And if remember what happened to MSNBC's ratings and CNN's ratings when the Mueller report came out? Remember how they cratered? Because there was no getting around that Donald Trump was not going to be impeached off of that thing. That there was no call for the criminal prosecution of the president of the United States. That there was no Russian collusion. Well, MSNBC and CNN had spent 2 years telling people there was. Their audiences felt lied to. Everybody saw that. Everybody on both sides is aware of that. And so whatever comes out tomorrow will be framed knowing that. They can't say they were wrong, because if they say they were wrong, they would be admitting that they were misleading you. That when they spoke definitively about things they knew nothing of, that they were in fact speaking definitively about things they knew nothing about, instead of wildly speculating and throwing red meat to their bases. So I just want you to be prepared for that. When the feces hits the fan, you're going to get splattered, and I just want you to have a change of clothes handy. Speaking of splatter, there is another impeachment hearing today. And this one is something to behold. It shouldn't be happening. Over the weekend, Jerry Nadler released a whole bunch of documents that Republicans could go through. Long after, by the way, it was humanly possible to go through them. They've got a bunch of documents from Adam Schiff, and he released them on a weekend to Republicans, not to the public, because we don't deserve to know what's going on in the push to remove a duly elected president of the United States. We don't need to know that. Well, you suckers, well, you just sit down, shut up, and do what you're told. That's the Democrats' attitude. Well, a lot of those documents are apparently classified, which means that the only way they can be viewed is in specific SCIFs, in secure facilities. And Republicans haven't had time to go there since they were all, like everybody else in Congress, home for the weekend. In fact, it's gotten so bad that Congressman Doug Collins released the following statement, just to give you an idea of how pathetic Democrats are. Chairman Nadler has no choice but to postpone Monday's hearing in the wake of last-minute document transmission that shows just how far Democrats have gone to pervert basic fairness. Nearly a month after every Republican on our committee asserted our clear right to see all underlying documents held by the committees involved in the impeachment investigation, we have received no response from the chairman. Instead, Democrats waited until after Speaker Pelosi announced that articles of impeachment were imminent and chose the eve of the Judiciary Committee's impeachment hearing to share loads of documents that Chairman Schiff has had since this investigation began. It is impossible for Judiciary Committee members to sift through thousands and thousands of pages in any meaningful way in a matter of hours. He continues. Now, this is how it works. Remember, if you have a strong case, you don't try to hide that case, right? If you have a strong case, you don't worry about a defense. You have fingerprints and you have videotape and you have DNA evidence. You don't sit around and be scared and try and hide things from your opponents. It continues. Moreover, Democrats still refuse to release all documentation in their possession, though Republicans have demanded this according to the House rules, which Democrats themselves adopted in January. The information Democrats released today is partially based and is partial, biased, and curated to support accusations they have to date been thinner than cotton candy. Americans still have no access to any information that Adam Schiff hasn't chosen to weave into his trial of lies. On behalf of millions of American voters who deserve the truth, Chairman Matt Nadler must postpone this hearing while the Judiciary Committee examines these documents. At the same time, Chairman Schiff must release to the House members the complete body of underlying evidence he has concealed. The unfairness and dishonesty of this impeachment sham continues to be unprecedented in violation of House rules, blah, 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 so on and so forth. That is how this impeachment hearing is going. This is how this impeachment hearing is being set up. This impeachment hearing today is the two lawyers for the impeachment hearings a couple of weeks ago. They are going to be testifying. That's how sad and pathetic things have gotten. That it's going to be lawyers who heard testimony and asked questions before now coming in and giving testimony and answering questions about the testimony and hearings that they held previously. I'm not sure how Democrats think this is going to move the needle at all, what sort of bombshell they believe they have and things we've already heard. And, well, I'll tell you why this is happening, just to be perfect. It's a guess, but I think it's an educated guess, knowing how politics works. There is the Inspector General's report coming out tomorrow, and preemptively, Democrats are concerned that if it does show some kind of FISA abuse, they don't know what's in it any more than I do, any more than you do. If it does show some kind of abuse by the Obama administration, then they need a distraction. They don't want the American public in general to find out about it. What happens when they hold impeachment hearings? A drooling media preempts an entire day's worth of programming. Even the broadcast networks cut in and go, my God, this is the most important thing in the world. It will lead the nightly newscasts because it's impeachment. It's an impeachment hearing. It should lead the nightly newscasts. It should never be done on this flimsy of evidence, and that should be pointed out, but it will lead the nightly newscasts. What won't lead the nightly newscasts, therefore, is the Inspector General's report and any damaging evidence that Mr. Horowitz has uncovered or included in his piece. See what I'm saying? All day long, cable news will be carrying the impeachment hearing. All day and into the night, perhaps. These hearings have a tendency to go on for a very, very long time because there are a lot of members on the committee and everybody gets their chance to ask questions. If that happens all day long and the Horowitz report is released at, say, 9 or 10 a.m., guess what cable news won't be talking about all day long? The Horowitz report. See how that works? Create a distraction. It's Bill Clinton being impeached and bombing the aspirin factory outside of Baghdad all over again. I think it was the day that he confessed that he did, in fact, soil Monica Lewinsky's dress after like 9 months of saying, nope, didn't do it. Never did it. How dare you? How dare you? You come in, you tell me that I'm doing it. I would never. I love my wife. I did it. By the way, I've got to bomb this aspirin factory because Saddam Hussein's so evil. So evil. That's what's at play here. This is not a political party that does this uniquely, but actually, given all the news about Donald Trump and all the telegraphed punches we knew were coming about Donald Trump, it could have easily been Donald Trump. He could have easily done this and played the game that the Democrats are playing and that the Clinton administration played, but Donald Trump has never done that. He hasn't bombed. He could easily just, well, all right, we got some damning news coming out. Let's bomb Syria. Hey, you know what? Let's bomb Iran. We'll bomb some insignificant thing in Iran, and I'll say that it was because of national security, and that will be the nightly newscast. It won't be about anything regarding this scandal. We'll bury that story in other news by creating other news. Donald Trump hasn't done that. Democrats do that exceedingly well. And they are able to get away with it almost exclusively because they have the media. It's not in their hip pocket. It's not even in their back pocket. It's up their backsides. And when you have the megaphone through which it is most efficient and effective to speak to the most people in the country possible, then having them on your side, when you have that on your side, you'd be amazed at how much you can get away with and how much you can, in fact, hide. That's what's going on here tomorrow. There's no reason to have this hearing tomorrow. I don't think the House is in session tomorrow per se, except in a pro forma session because it's a Monday. But because there's other news coming out, that's why you have what you have. They are so pathetic and predictable that not only do you see this punch coming, it's telegraphed, and that's what they're doing. Very defensive. Look, they're playing it smart. You got to do this just in case. You never know what's in that report. There could be something bad in there, so they've got to play preemptive defense. Democrats are exceedingly good at that, and so are their friends in the media. Speaking of their friends in the media, Chuck Todd, the ginger avenger out there, trying to, I don't know what he's trying to make up for, what he's compensating for, but micropenis, from what I understand, is real. So it could be that, could be any number of things. Chuck Todd had on Jerry Nadler yesterday, and on Meet the Press, and it's basically had the throne sniffed by the press. It's a joke. It's a shame what Chuck Todd has done to that once great institution. It's far worse than what George Stephanopoulos did to This Week. I was a nerd growing up, not necessarily a nerd, but I was always a news geek. And I would watch David Brinkley on This Week. It was This Week with David Brinkley. And even with Sam and Cokie out there every week, it was informative. I enjoyed it. I looked forward to it on Sundays, believe it or not. And I probably just sank, you know, miles in your estimation of me, but believe me, it's deserved. I would watch This Week with David Brinkley all the time. And then I would flip over and watch the Meet the Press with Tim Russert too. I told you, I was a news junkie from a very, very young age. And what those shows have become is a shame. But nothing has been as disgraceful as what Chuck Todd has done to Meet the Press. Like I said, he had Jerry Nadler on there. And his last question, listen to this after talking about all the evils and sins of Donald Trump. I imagine Chuck Todd talking to a Democrat is what it's like when two priests talk. Even though they're not supposed to talk about what they hear about in confession, you suspect that every once in a while, after a couple of flagons of mead or some wine, they exchange stories without giving any names, but they're like, dude, you wouldn't believe what I heard. Chuck Todd is like that, and he was on board with Jerry Nadler. No real tough questions, no real questions to speak of. And then at the end, he asks Nadler whether or not if Donald Trump isn't impeached, if Donald Trump isn't tossed out of office and then thrown in jail or something, is there a possibility of getting a fair election? Could we possibly, will there be more interference? It's really that bad of a question. It's a pathetic question. And he should be embarrassed because that's where it ends. He doesn't have any follow-up. I have right there at the end, him basically gutting it out and saying, yeah, well, you know what? Thanks for coming on. See you later. This audio would be shocking 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. He would have been fired over it. But nowadays, it's par for the course. So here's Chuck Todd and Jerry Nadler from yesterday.
Let me ask you this. If he's acquitted, do you believe we'll have a fair election in 2020?
I don't know. The president, based on his past performance, will do everything he can to make it not a fair election. And that is part of what gives us the urgency to proceed with this impeachment.
Chairman Nadler, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, Chairman Nadler, thank you for coming on. I'm going to sniff that chair as soon as you stand up. So please don't stand up quickly. I want all of your essence still in the chair right there. It's unbelievable. Well, can we have a fair election without getting rid of this guy? I mean, for God's sakes, are we going to have to storm the White House? Are we going to have to demand that he be physically removed from the office? And of course, his answer, what do you think his answer is going to be? He's a partisan Democrat who's hated Donald Trump since the 80s. Of course he's going to come down on this crap. But no, Chuck Todd is so journalistic. Such a hero. Just ask him. It's unbelievable what passes for journalism these days. If it weren't just now, you know, if it weren't now, if it were 20 years ago, 10 years ago, he'd be fired. He'd be out on his ass. But it is now. and what passes for journalism and who is hired in journalism is so far down and so disgraced and so collapsed. It's so pathetic. It really, really is. I mean, think about this. Essie Cupp, right? You know, I know Essie Cupp a little bit. She's a perfectly nice person. I haven't seen her in, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, but when I knew her a little bit, she's much closer with my wife, she was always perfectly nice. But she's gone off the deep end. She's now a never-Trumper. Over the weekend, she tweeted, quote, "Remember when Bloomberg demanded a third term as mayor and got it? Question mark. Trump will do the same. Beware of the autocratic impulses. Beware the same automatic impulses." What are you talking about? You'd have to change the Constitution. Michael Bloomberg got a vote from the city council to be able to run for a third term. They caved on him because he was popular, and they also didn't like the choices that they had. I mean, look what happened when he left office. They got Bloomberg. Would you want that 4 years earlier? Still, they gave it to him. There can be no vote to just say, well, let's just waive the Constitution. Let's go out there and say, all right, Donald Trump, you can have it. Now, every president who serves two terms has gone out and given a campaign or a convention speech where the people go, oh, four more years. And there's always speculation in the media about should we repeal the, I think it's the 16th Amendment or 18th Amendment, whatever it is. I don't know it off the top of my head. Should we repeal that? Should this person be under blah, 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 blah. They're wildly popular. If they're Republicans, it's Republicans saying it and Democrats poo-pooing the idea. And if it's Democrats, it's Democrats and the media saying it, you know, the way things always are. But it always happens. It's ridiculous to send this out. But she's got a television show, and granted, it's on CNN, and nobody watches it. It's on the weekends. And literally, you probably went to high school with more people than who watch her show. But she has a TV show. She is on a cable news network. There are innocent people subjected to her stupidity on a daily basis when they're trapped in airports. This is what passes for, well, she's CNN's conservative, and this is what passes for conservatism on that network. Now, conservatives should at least have a passing understanding of the Constitution and how it works and how changing it works, and it can't just be Donald Trump calls for it, and so Republicans in Congress say, yeah, go ahead. No, that's not how it works. But she's now a major media figure in the United States. So when I say take everything you hear, left, right, or center with a grain of salt, this is a shining example of what I mean. Well, this and Chuck Todd. Speaking of another shining example of insanity and perhaps dementia and cockiness. Look, when you go into an interview and you're a Democrat, you know that they're on your team. You know, the hometown newspaper, unless you really crap the bed in a game, if you go into the locker room, it's going to give you a fair shake, a fairer than fair shake in a close game or a tough loss or something like that. The sports reporters have their audience loves the team. They're not going to write bad things about the team. That's just how it works. The same thing is true for Democrats. Joe Biden's running for president. You may or may not be aware of this, but he's running for president of the United States. No, seriously, stop laughing. He's running for president of the United States. And he sat down with Axios, which is a wildly popular inside the Beltway, but little red in America news outlet. And their stories are really terrible. They're terribly written. There's barely anything new in any of them, and they just rehash old crap and keep it's a bad website. But sometimes they do break news, and because they are loved inside the Beltway, they get interviews. And because they are loved inside the Beltway and a liberal outlet, they get a show on HBO, because that's how HBO works these days. If you're a liberal news outlet, I'm surprised Huffington Post doesn't have a show on HBO right now, to be perfectly honest with you. It'll probably happen within the next 2 years, provided Huffington Post doesn't go under before then because it's so bad. But Axios is loved, and they sat down with Joe Biden. It was broadcast on HBO on Sunday, and the topic of Hunter Biden came up. And Joe Biden still, to this day, doesn't have a good answer for how his son made multiple millions, we don't know, of dollars out of Ukraine, an industry he knows nothing about. In a country he'd likely never visited, he doesn't speak the language, he has no expertise, he brings nothing to the table except his last name. You would think, knowing that and all the controversy surrounding Hunter Biden in the last 2 months and all of the problems that Joe has had with dealing with this in the last 2 months, and particularly the last 2 weeks, that they, as a campaign, would have come up with some kind of answer. I mean, after all, Joe Biden raised a ton of money. He doesn't have so much on hand anymore because the grassroots isn't really all that interested in him. But Joe Biden raised tens of millions of dollars. He's spent that money. He's blown through it at like a cocaine freak with a gambling addiction, with a free weekend in Vegas. He's just gone through it. It's crazy. And he still doesn't have an answer. Now, this is a friendly question. It isn't a tough question, but listen to how badly Joe handles this situation and think to yourselves, there are consultants, highly paid consultants working with the Biden campaign, making a ton of money, upward, I would say, $50,000, $100,000 a month, depending on who they are. And see, when Joe Biden launched his campaign, it was kind of a foregone conclusion that he was going to be the nominee. He was raising money hand over fist from all the big donors. They'd all maxed out to him right away, and he wanted to snap up the best people possible, and the best people possible come with the most money you can possibly pay them. The other campaigns couldn't afford to hire the campaign consultants that Joe Biden hired. Well, he spent out millions of dollars on these people, and they still haven't successfully come up with anything remotely close to a decent answer to the most basic question that has been on people's lips for the past at least 2 months, maybe even longer.
On your son, Hunter Biden, President Trump says, Sweepy Joe has real problems. Reminds me of Crooked Hillary and her 33,000 deleted emails. A lot of the Ukraine charges about you have been debunked and were unfair. There's one thing that a lot of Democrats even do wonder about, and that is Hunter Biden, your son, was getting paid a lot of money to serve on the board of a Ukrainian energy company facing serious corruption charges. You were the vice president running point on Ukraine. The average Joe hears that and says, that sounds fishy. What's your understanding of what your son was doing for an extraordinary amount of money?
I don't know what he was doing. I know he was on the board. I found out he was on the board after he was on the board, and that was it.
Hey, man, I don't know nothing. I haven't even bothered to ask my kid whether or not he was using my name, our name, to make money. Anybody believe that? We know for a fact that Joe Biden's staff was briefed about Hunter Biden's position on the Burisma board while he was vice president, because the appearance of impropriety was kind of a bad thing. It was really, really bad, as a matter of fact, that employees at the State Department were concerned that, hey, maybe, just maybe, he's not on the up and up, that this at least looks bad, looks really bad. Well, of course it looked really bad. It should be a major problem and a major holdup for everybody. The president of the United States at the time, Barack Obama, should have put his foot down and said, I'm not going to have you be the point man on this anymore because your son is, you know, on the board of this company. So let's just move past that, Joe. Let's get to something else. We'll give you another toy to play with or whatever. But no, for him to sit there and say, I have no idea. I never asked him. It never occurred to me. I don't know. It's a lie. It is a fraud. It is a joke. It is a scam. He doesn't have a good answer, possibly because there is no good answer. We do know that Hunter and Joe talked one time about this, and Joe's response was, don't do it. You better know what you're doing. I hope you know what you're doing. Like, that's it. It never occurred to you when your son is telling you that he's making at least $50,000, maybe upwards of $88,000. I've heard estimates all over the place, that you go, hey, wait a second. This seems fishy because I don't remember you ever talking about Ukraine. I don't remember you ever talking about oil and gas. I don't remember you talking about anything. It's weird that now you're suddenly a part of this company. Hunter, maybe you want to explain why this is. You know, maybe we should talk about this. Maybe we should be concerned about this thing. Nope. Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is apparently a free pass for being a Democrat. He wasn't done talking, though.
And there's nobody...
Well, you've had a lot of time. Isn't this something you want to get to the bottom of?
No, because I trust my son.
No, because I trust my son. I mean, yeah, he's got a coke problem and he's thrown out of the military for having cocaine in his system. And yeah, he left his wife for his sister-in-law and then left his sister-in-law for some strange lady he just met and banged a stripper in the meantime and got her pregnant and then denied that and then was forced to admit in court thanks to DNA evidence that he was the father. But I absolutely trust my son. Can we trust somebody who trusts Hunter Biden with the nuclear codes? Should that not be disqualifying? What in the hell? Like, I absolutely trust my junkie son, my junkie whoring son, who is alleged to have smoked crack in a VIP room at a strip club in Washington, D.C. To which I would say, you know, if you can't smoke crack, is it truly a VIP room anyway? Can you believe he has no better answer than any of this? I didn't talk to him. I had never even bothered to ask him. Well, I believe him. I trust him. I trust my son. I won't give him keys to my house because if I'm out of town, he might sell everything inside of it so he can buy more crack. But I trust my son. When I was growing up, the people right next to us, Ray and Earlene, incredibly nice people. I used to do chores for them. They were very, very sweet old couple. They had adult children, and one of them, they used to lock themselves out of the house constantly, and I used to have to be hoisted in through the kitchen window because I was the only one small enough to fit in there to unlock their door from the inside, and then they eventually gave us a key to their house. One of their sons, Roger, became a crack addict, and he would... he'd be out of the house, obviously, tossed out of the house because he'd ripped them off several times. And when they would go out of town, we were always, you know, watch their house for them. And Roger would come around. We had strict orders. Do not give Roger the key. Do not let Roger in the house. Because as much as they loved Roger because he was their son, they did not trust Roger because he had done so much that had proven him to be untrustworthy. Hunter Biden has done enough to make him untrustworthy. Yet Joe Biden's in there, I love my son. I trust my son's judgment. Would you trust his judgment? Would you open up a business with Hunter Biden? Now, I could think, you know, hey, you may open up a business with Hunter Biden. There'd be some good money in it because he apparently knows how to sniff out amazing, amazing jobs and business opportunities for which he is completely unqualified and make a ton of money doing it. But the shadiness aspect of it, the potential for prison aspect of it, should at least give you pause, if not cause you to stop signing any contract involving Hunter Biden that marries you to Hunter Biden, I would think. It certainly would for me. But then again, I'm not desperately running for president on my age, my experience, and my sense of entitlement. Joe and the exchange with, I think it's Mike Allen, continues.
But that doesn't pass the smell test. Like, when you're vice president, isn't there a higher standard? Don't you need to know what's happening with your family? Don't you need to put down some guardrails?
Unless there was something that was, there was something on its face that was wrong. There's nothing on its face that was wrong. So look, if you want to talk about problems, you know, let's talk about Trump's family. I mean, come on. This is...
So
these guys are amazing.
You got to love that. Change the subject right away and throw it at Donald Trump. Oh, look at that. He later cites, oh, Ivanka Trump got some patents in China, you know, that she had applied 4 years earlier and that were granted in 2017. But there's nothing unusual about that. She wasn't hired by some massive company over in China like Hunter was.
So you think that everything that happened was kosher?
You know there's not one single bit of evidence, not one little tiny bit, to suggest anything done was wrong. You know that. But you keep asking me these questions. It's okay. You're doing what you have to do. But I'm not worried about it. Look, the American public knows me.
There's not one single diddle bit of evidence. Yeah, and this is the guy who says there was not a single hint of a scandal during the Obama administration as veterans died waiting on wait lists, secret wait lists that were hidden, and the VA was in complete disarray. There's Benghazi being blamed on a video. There's selling guns to the Mexican drug lords. There's the IRS being weaponized. You name it. There was the Obamacare lies. No, but there wasn't a single scandal. There's not a single bit of evidence. Look at the Trumps. There's not a single bit of evidence. Go look at the Trumps. Well, where's the single bit of evidence against the Trumps? Because there is kind of a single bit of evidence against Hunter Biden. It is the fact that you called for the firing of the prosecutor that was investigating Burisma. He was making a boatload of money, and he was completely not qualified for anything remotely close to the job that he held. He only got it after you became the American point man on Ukraine. That's kind of fishy, Joe. But he just would prefer to say, man, what are you asking about this for, man? Come on, man. Come on, man.
Last one on this. Say you're elected. You're in office. What guardrails would you have to be sure that your son, your brother Jimmy, doesn't do anything to trade on the family name?
They will not be engaged in any foreign business because of what's happened in this administration. No one's going to be seeking patents for things from China. No one's going to be engaged in that kind of thing.
So no foreign business for your
Correct.
Relatives in office.
Now, that's very interesting. Aside from the attempted deflection there about Ivanka, it is, my son did nothing wrong. There's absolutely nothing wrong, but he'll never do it again. I won't allow him to do it again. We're not going to allow them to do it again. Not because of the creepiness and the corruptness of the appearance, at least, of what Hunter did, but because Ivanka Trump got a couple of patents in China. That's the best you've got. Of course, there's no follow-up from Mike Allen. There's no pressing on that one, no pointing out the difference between getting a couple of patents that you'd long since applied for, finally approved for your company after you'd entered the White House, and somebody making a buttload of money while your father is vice president of the United States and in charge of the policies regarding that country. There's a huge, huge difference there, but being a Democrat means never really having to explain it. Maybe next time Joe Biden is asked this, if he's ever asked this, which is doubtful, his highly paid campaign consultants can come up with a more definitive answer. Normally, if you heard a politician be this evasive and refuse for this long to answer a question seriously, and when they did answer it, they came up with as bad a response as Joe Biden has had, all the journalists would be scrambling to get a better answer, to dig deeper, to find out what in the hell is going on, because my son did nothing wrong, but don't worry, I won't let him do it again, is a bit contradictory. But being a Democrat, again, means never having to explain anything. But we're out of time for today. I wonder if I'll be right about this Inspector General's report, or if you're all mad at me because you think I'm talking about your favorite TV host or podcaster or whatever. And I'm not. And I am at the beginning of the show. Whatever you, I just want you to be aware of the possibilities out there. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we get some definitive answers. I don't know that we will. It's not really what an inspector general does, but we shall see. And we'll also see what Democrats cook up in order to distract from it and whether or not they focus on it. If there's nothing bad in the IG report, you watch how quickly yesterday's impeachment hearing will be ignored. You just watch. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at Derek A. Hunter. You can email me, Derek@DailyCaller.com. Help support the program at patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. And just have, in general, a great Monday, as good as a Monday can be. We'll be back here tomorrow. Have a good one.
If he's acquitted, do you believe we'll have a fair election in 2020?